Saturday was the very first time that the Michigan State football team and Brigham Young University met on the football field. Many thought it would be the ideal game for the Spartans to get back on track after losing the first two games on the Big Ten schedule to Wisconsin and Indiana, an out-of-conference matchup against a team that on paper didn't seem to match the talent of the green and white, but as the old saying in sports goes, that's why they play the game. BYU would top MSU 31-14, leaving the Spartan Nation scratching its head. And Current Sports' Al Martin covered the matchup, has a first-hand take on where the team goes from here. He joins us now. Hi, Al.
How are you doing, Mark?
I am well. What was the mood in the post-game press conference? What did Coach D'Antonio say to try to explain what went wrong here?
Well, very somber, Mark. I mean, as you can imagine, this is the first time that the Michigan State football team has lost three straight games dating back to 2009. So all of the goals that this team had coming into this year, Mark, you know, the motto, back-to-back, trying to win another Big Ten championship. Those goals, I don't know how you can't alter them now, because no one saw this coming, really. And as Mark D'Antonio, when he addressed the podium, you know, there were two statements that really stood out in my eyes. The first one was, you know, of course, when looking at how the season has gone this far, he said we must handle ourselves with conviction. This is a team that is You can only go up from here now, right? There's a lot of room for improvement, and you just have to see that improvement from week to week to week here. And again, as I talked about, those goals have to alter it to a certain point. And also, the second statement that really stood out to me, Mark, was, quote, "I don't want a quarterback controversy." Well, I think we have one now.
There was a late-game snag involving Tyler O'Connor and Damian Terry. Remind our listeners what happens here. What happened?
A very odd situation. Now, when you really look at this game, Mark, I don't think that Tyler O'Connor performed really in any way that warranted him getting pulled in that game, if you ask me, especially when you evaluate the play calling, which was scrutinized directly after the game. For example, the first drive, when Michigan State gets out on top 7-0, that first drive to start the game, Tyler O'Connor throws the football 8 times. He goes 6 of 8 on that drive. Throughout the rest of the half, he only threw 1 pass after scoring that opening drive for Michigan State.
Stopped throwing the ball.
They stopped throwing the football at one point, Mark. I actually took note of it in my notes. At the 2:30 mark in the second quarter, Michigan State had run the ball 8 straight times. And I believe it led to something like two straight three and outs. So I just didn't get it. From Jim Bowman and Dave Warner's perspective, the co-offensive coordinators, I did not understand the play calling moving forward. So if you don't give Tyler a chance to throw the football, why take him out? Mm-hmm. And Mark D'Antonio, he addressed that, I mean, after the game, and also Dave Warner did as well. He said that the reason for the O'Connor change had to do with the offense not being productive. He didn't feel like Tyler O'Connor was playing that badly, but he also thought that the offense could have been more productive and, you know, why not try somebody else? So Damian Terry comes in the fourth quarter. He throws an interception, then moved MSU to its second score. Damian Terry, at the end of the day, he went 6 of 10, 63 yards. He was sacked. The interception that I just mentioned. O'Connor, 7 of 11. So similar stats when Tyler plays 80% of the game. 7 of 11, 58 yards, sacked twice, no INTs for Tyler O'Connor. So, again, Mark D'Antonio may say, I don't want a quarterback controversy, but it's going to be very interesting to see who suits up as MSU starting QB this homecoming weekend against Northwestern.
What else might change as we – what else has changed, if anything, going into homecoming weekend against the Wildcats here?
Well, right now, I mean, you play – I don't know if much has changed, Mark. I will say this. There's going to be a lot of conversation, I'm sure – already it has, with Mark D'Antonio and his coaching staff to see how they proceed forward with personnel. Because, one, first off, this isn't just an offensive problem for Michigan State. The defense for MSU has really been suspect as well this year, Mark. I mean, if you really look at that game, the MSU defense, I mean, and just overall, the Spartans have been outscored by 41 points in the second half this season, including 56-21 in the fourth quarter. They are right now allowing over 50% of third downs in the last three losses that they've had. So they can't stop teams on third down right now. And if you look at what BYU was able to do, they went 10 of 16. More than half of their third downs, they converted. So it's a team problem here. This isn't just what's wrong with the offense. The defense as well. And where do you go from here now? I mean, you play a Northwestern team that isn't having a great year right now. Northwestern has the same record as Michigan State does, 2-3, fifth in the West. MSU is 2-3, sixth in the East. But looking at, again, this was a BYU team, as you mentioned, Mark, that Michigan State was favored against, and they lay an egg. Who knows what's going to happen this weekend?
Michigan beat Rutgers 78-0 on Saturday night, the largest point differential since 1939. Are the Wolverines destined for a playoff appearance? What do you think?
No, I won't jump ahead. You know, I won't put the cart before the horse here, Mark, so to speak. Now, Michigan is a great team. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the defense is clearly one of the best in the nation. Wilton Spate at the quarterback position, he's getting better week after week after week, and not to mention a guy who's in the Heisman Trophy conversation in Jabril Peppers, who Jim Harbaugh endorsed for the Heisman Trophy. This is a kid who can do it all. There is nothing that Jabril Peppers can't do on the football field.
I know, going into last week's game, the stat that I heard that just blew my hair back, Peppers averages 20-some yards per punt return.
Isn't that crazy?
That is something else.
It's something else. Did you see the punt return that he had for a touchdown that was negated due to, I believe, a flag on the play? But, I mean, it looked like something out of a video game, Mark.
Yeah.
Like you were sitting there playing Madden, you know, 2016 instead of watching a real game, right?
Yeah.
The kid is unbelievable. But the thing is, Michigan, when you evaluate the schedule, Mark, they've only been tested by, in my opinion, one legit team. That being Wisconsin. That Wisconsin win was very impressive. Rutgers, I mean, I knew it was going to be a blowout. I didn't think it was going to be 78-0, which is still impressive. You don't allow Rutgers to score at all. Michigan is for real, but I would still love to see them play better competition. And don't sleep on that Michigan and Michigan State game. I think Michigan State is going to correct some things, and I think that's going to be a very competitive game come October 29th.
We want to get to the Lions before we run out of time, but I want to ask you about this promotion Ruth's Steakhouse in Ann Arbor had that started last week, centering around the Wolverine football team. They might be regretting this. Tell our listeners about that.
Yes, Mark. So they had a promotion. I chuckled at this. They had a promotion that, again, as you stated, started last week, where they would offer its customers a percentage discount based on how many points Michigan won by. So, a 78-0 win, that's a 78% discount on anything you order. However, there is a clause in there. They say they would limit it to 50. So, a 50% discount for that restaurant this entire week, and they've already been booked for the rest of the week, Mark. Pretty funny stuff.
Got to touch on the Lions, of course. I watched with bated breath, waiting for the worst. A lot of Lions fans did yesterday, but we were able to snap a losing streak. How were the Lions able to beat the unbeaten Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, you really have to, and I was sitting there thinking the same thing, Mark. I'm sitting there saying, okay.
This is going down the drain.
Right, same old song. When do the Lions give this game up, especially how they started that second half? I mean, at one point, they only had 11 yards of offense going into, I think, the fourth quarter. So I'm sitting there saying, okay, they're going to give this game up, especially when Philly took the lead late in that game. But one man just had a heck of a game, Mark, and that being Darius Slay Jr. He caused a fumble on Ryan Matthews with under 3 minutes left to play. That led to the go-ahead field goal on the ensuing offensive possession for the Lions. And then, to seal the deal, Carson Wentz, he tries to go for a long ball, and Darius Slay does a great job of not impeding on the receiver to cause pass interference, putting himself in great position to snag the ball away. He gets the INT to ice the game. Darius Slay, that four-year, $51 million contract that he signed back in July, certainly played off yesterday afternoon.
Slay's interception was one of the most athletic things I've seen on the football field so far this season.
He looked like a wide receiver,
yeah.
Didn't he? Not a cornerback.
Yeah.
I mean, really, unbelievable.
Really, really something. We want to thank Al Martin. He's back with more current sports here on AM 870 WKAR today at 1 o'clock and every weekday at 1. Thank you, Al.
Hey, thank you, Mark.